We still have some time. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, guys. Go study. Be ready to preach this week. I think they only give them about 3 minutes each. There's a bunch of kids up there that do it. But what a blessing it is to know that we are molding young preacher boys. This morning we started talking about the wheat and the tares. We talked about how to identify them. One, we saw that the tares are always disobedient and ultimately they are unfruitful. And then we got into the fact that tares are pretenders. And we learned this morning that tares and wheat, they're going to grow together. They're going to look the same. And at the end, we learned in the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He said, and he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the who, church? The wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. We can reference the wheat as saved people, and we can reference the tares as those who think they are saved, but they've only come by works of their own righteousness and things that they have done and man's traditions and things that they believe will get them to heaven. But we know what our Bible says. We have to come, as we sang tonight, by the way of the cross. And in the end, if you're not saved, I just want to help you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But it ought to worry you that if you're not saved tonight, your eternal destination is a lake of fire. It ought to worry. It ought to bother you, as Hayden preached, in your conscience, that you know that you're going to die and you're going to go to hell without Jesus Christ. It is a reality that it does not matter what you or I think about it. It's what thus saith the Lord is what's going to be final. God is going to judge us based on His righteousness, not our righteousness. And if it were on our righteousness, we still wouldn't make it. Everybody okay with that? But with this morning we learn that they're pretenders and we learn that they're disobedient. Well, thirdly, I want to show you that tares are often arrogant. You say, preacher, that's kind of mean. No, it's biblical, I promise. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 13 through 15. They're arrogant. To be arrogant means to have or display an exaggerated sense of one's own importance, worth, or abilities, often leading to overbearing or condescending behavior towards others. Arrogant people frequently believe they are superior. They dismiss others' opinions, and they may seek to dominate conversations or situations. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15, the Bible says this, for such are, what's the next two words? False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. See, here's the problem. We cannot transform ourselves into anything. We must believe in order to receive the gift of God. Everybody okay with that? We must believe first. But here's what they're doing. They're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You ever thought about this? If Satan were this ugly, disgusting, vile-looking being, if it were so obvious the outcome of sin, how many of us would actually partake in it? If we knew what was going to happen to us, if we could see the consequence of sin, I guarantee you, the next time you sin, if God said, okay, you do this, this is going to happen, 100% of smart people are going to say, I ain't doing that. Why? Because you're going to see what happens. But here's the problem. We can choose our choices, but we never get to choose the consequence. Everybody okay with that? See, Satan makes everything look good. He's a master liar. He has to lie to you. And here's the problem. We believe him oftentimes more than we believe our God. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And folks, we know that our works will not save us, but verse 15 caught my attention. It says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers... Who's the Bible talking about still? Satan. So Satan has ministers here on earth. He's the prince and power of the earth. Is that right? He is. He has ministers here on earth proclaiming to be something that they are not. We call them false prophets or false teachers. They come, but they don't come by the way of the cross. They try to make you believe something that's contrary to God's word. They'll water down Christianity. Oh, you can work your way there. You'll be okay. Stay in your sin. Do what makes you feel good. You're under grace. Hey, don't worry about that. False teachers. Satan has people working for him. You say, who would work for the devil? Anybody that's not working for God. Anybody that's not working for God is a servant of the devil. Say, preacher, have you ever worked for the devil? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Really? You're a preacher? Yeah, but I'm flesh. Just like you. And if you're not careful, you'll start working for him. You take your eyes off the things we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Are you going to keep the faith? Hey, the quickest way to lose your faith and is to stop working. Stop being busy. Start having an idle mind. These people add more light to the... Or this point adds more light to the previous point. Notice that Satan disguises, which means he changes his fashion or appearance. His servants, they wear a cloak as to appear righteous or just. But keep in mind that those who portray themselves as a servant of righteousness will appear clumsy to true believers. Hey, listen, if you are a believer and you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say we're smart enough to say that person's saved. But you're going to have something in common with a saved man. Everybody all right with that? Your spirit's going to bear witness. You'll have some things in common. But non-believers do not have the ability to be spiritual. And I think we misrepresent this sometimes. We misunderstand this. Why would we expect a lost man to be spiritual? He has no knowledge of God. He has spiritually discerned. But we often ask the question, why is that person like that? Why is she like that? Why is he like that? Why is that young person like that? We never come to the reality that maybe they're just lost. We overlook that. We got this misconception that everybody's saved because they're doing this and this, and everybody's not saved. And I'm not your judge, and you're not mine, but I know this. When I got saved, I became a new creature. That's what my Bible says. I couldn't help that. I became a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I was at the ballpark the other night, standing with one of my buddies, and we were talking about old times, and he pulled out his chewing tobacco, and he said, hey man, you still dip? I said, nope, ain't done that in a long, long time. I said, I gave that up years ago. He said, how'd you do that? I said, just don't desire it no more. It was simple. I said, Lord, take away this desire from me. And guess what God did? He took away the desire. He said, I noticed you don't really talk the way you used to either back in school. I said, no, I don't. Well, why? Because I'm a new creature. Hey, a new creature is going to desire new things. Y'all with me? You should no longer desire to be like your old self. And here's the problem. If you are desiring, and it bothers me when people say, well, it don't really bother me. I don't really have conviction. I'd question your salvation. God hates sin. The Holy Ghost of God is 100% contrary to any and all sin. And anything that I put in my life that is bad, you're going to be convicted before you ever put it into your life. And then you're going to be convicted even more after you put it into your life until you get rid of it. That's the God we serve. He hates sin. His Son died for that sin. True believers, they stand out. They're just on a different spiritual level. And can I say this? You ought to be on a different spiritual level than lost people. You ought to be on a different spiritual level. Such a demeanor stemming from an unbelieving heart lends itself to a kind of righteousness often lacking in graciousness toward others. You ever find yourself not being very patient with others? Brother Kelly preached on it tonight. Hey, we ought to be patient with people. Think about this. The next time you say, how patient should I be? Well, ask yourself a simple question. How would you want to be treated in this situation? How patient would you want if the tide turned, they're you and you're them, would you want them to have patience with you? The answer is yes. You would not want them to treat you. You know, you treat others like you want to be treated. Have you ever met someone who's just not thankful for anyone or anything around them? Everything's all grumpy all the time. Those kind of people aren't very fun to be around. They think the world would be better off if it were just them. After all, no one else's opinion matters anyway. They don't get what they want. Everything must come to a stop, folks. This is arrogance. Remember, tares exist alongside wheat, but they're just blending in. They're not one of us. But if you look carefully long enough, protruding out from underneath that mask is a stinking air of superiority. Guys, in the end, when we die, you're not going to die and stand before God and say, I thought I was saved. Look, the Bible tells you how you can be saved. It's no secret. God did not leave it a secret for us to wonder, I wonder if I'm actually saved. I wonder if I can be saved. Yes, you can. And that's the reality of this message tonight. If you're lost, I'm begging you. I'm not making fun of you. Listen, I pity for you. I know how you feel. I spent 2.5 years of my life in straight misery saying no to the conviction of a holy God who did not have to ever convict me again, but He chose to. I know how you feel. I know how it feels when the altar call happens and you grab a hold of your pew and you look straight down because you don't want somebody looking at you. I know how it feels to think, everybody thinks I'm saved. What if I walk the aisle? What if I get saved tonight? They're all going to think I'm a coward. No, we're not going to think you're a coward. And shame on you if you think that about them. Hey, we're going to rejoice with you because we can now spend eternity with you. That's what we're going to think. I'm going to think you're crazy if you hold on to that pew and go to hell. Y'all with me? That's crazy. That's arrogant. That's insane. Number four, they falsify salvation. They falsify salvation. Look at the book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Over to your right, just a book there. A few pages. Galatians chapter number 1. Tares, they falsify salvation. We've talked about this through the other points. Galatians 1 verse 8 says this. Let's start in verse number 6. The Bible says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You think Paul would have put this in here if this weren't true? God would not have given him these words if this were not going to happen. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed. They falsify salvation. The big problem of the church of Galatia when Paul wrote the Galatian epistle was the false teachers had recently engulfed it. Hey, can I tell you something? False preachers have engulfed America. All over the place. Don't think just because you walk into a building that labels itself as a church that you're sitting under a good preacher. You better line him up with the Word of God. And if he don't line up with the Word of God, he's a false prophet. Everybody okay with that? He ought to line up with the Word of God. Don't trust what the sign says outside. Hey, test the theory. Open the Bible. Line him up with the Word of God. More specifically, the now in bloom false teaching was now about salvation. The now in charge tares in the church pridefully taught that salvation was not achieved by faith in Christ alone, but in part by keeping the Old Testament law. Hey, we know that's false. Jesus Christ had now came. The veil had been rent. We now have access to a holy God. We don't have to go through man anymore. We don't have to sacrifice anymore. The sacrifice has already been given to us. We're not under the dispensation of the law anymore. We're under the dispensational era of grace. And thank God we're still there. And folks, if you're lost tonight, hey, that grace is still sufficient. Tares do not believe that salvation is by grace alone, in Christ alone. Deep down, they believe in their self-pride that a person can save himself via his self-righteous acts. But here's the problem. When salvation is not based in grace, that person's treatment of others will not be based in grace. You ever think about that? If you have the grace of God in your life, that grace will be bestowed from inside, and it will come out and show in the way you treat other people. You ever met someone who's just rough? Hey, not saying that everyone that's rough is lost, but I'm telling you this. If the grace of God has covered their life, they're going to have the ability to be graceful. Everybody okay? See, we know them by their fruits. Grace is a foreign concept to tares. It follows, therefore, that tares tend to possess a stunted spiritual growth, resulting in a disregard for God's grace and mercy, and personally lack humble praise and adoration of the Savior, who to them is not the author of salvation anyway. They believe their salvation is based on personal performance. You ever heard of performance-based Christianity? I'm not going to get into that tonight, but I don't believe in that. I don't believe what we do gets us there. Now, I believe you ought to do because you're saved, but not do to get saved. Everybody okay? They believe it's based on performance versus Jesus' sacrifice, and they arrogantly judge others accordingly. Can I say all the personal performance and pride in the world will only get you straight to hell without the blood of Jesus? Be careful this evening. I wrote this message for the morning, but I'm going to finish it tonight. Be careful this evening not to be a tare among the wheat, but rather a wheat among the tares. And lastly, tonight, and we're going to continue this study probably over the next couple of weeks, but I want to say this. Tares always battle the wrong enemy. Tares always battle the wrong enemy. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We spent some time here, the first year I was pastoring here, learning that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Well, folks, why do we though? Because we're battling the wrong enemy. And let me tell you this, tares have not the ability to battle the right enemy. Everybody all right? Remember, they're not spiritual people. They're spiritually discerned people. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 12. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. A saved individual has the spiritual maturity to realize that they are not battling against flesh and blood. Folks, saved people understand this. Mom and dad's not your enemy, kids. Y'all all right with that? Hey, mom and dad, your kids are not your enemy. Husbands, your wife is not your enemy. Wives, your husband is not your enemy. Church, the preacher is not your enemy. Teenagers, your youth pastor, your Sunday school teachers, they're not your enemy. They're just trying to get you to do right. But we're constantly battling each other. A saved man or woman will realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Or we would say individuals. People are not our enemy. Say that back to me. People are not our enemy. One more time. People are not our enemy. So is the president my enemy? Is the local mayor that I can't stand my enemy? I'm not saying I can't stand our mayor. I'm just saying, hey, is the governor my enemy? Is that school teacher that drives me crazy my enemy? Is that preacher that always preaches on my sin my enemy? Is that Sunday school teacher that I get under conviction about every time she or he preaches or teaches my enemy? No! The devil's your enemy. People aren't out to steal, kill, and destroy you. Now, the devil uses people to do that. But shame on you if he's allowed to use you. The devil is our enemy. A tear or lost individual will always choose to fight the wrong battle. You say, why would they do that? Because they're lost. Again, lost people do lost people things, right? Lost people do lost people things. We need to get back to the reality that there's only two types of people in this world. Lost and saved. And if only 2% of 9 billion people proclaim to be born again believers, that tells me there's a whole lot more lost people than there are saved people out there. So probably what we're dealing with most of the time is a bunch of self-righteous lost people. Everybody all right? We're not saved just because of what we do. I can't say it enough. We're saved only by the blood. A tear or lost individual will always choose to fight the wrong battle. They have no spiritual discernment. They are lost without the Holy Ghost of God. Tares desire to see believers or wheat to be consumed by individuals' battles amongst themselves. You ever notice how the devil works his way in the homes and causes division in the home? Husbands and wives, moms and dads, moms and children, daddies and children. Hey, he starts from the inside and he works his way from the home into the school, into the church. That's what he does. He causes division. And let me tell you this. If there's division, it's not God. Everybody all right? If there's division, it's not God. That's the devil. His job is to steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. And he's pretty good at his job. By the way, he's created by God. So you know what that tells me? God's greater than him. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Everybody all right? Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. There's no excuse. Tares desire to see believers separated and battle amongst themselves. We must learn to stick together in agreement with God's word. Here in Ephesians 6, we see that our battle is first and foremost a spiritual battle. In order for us to be effective in the spiritual battle, we must learn to fight a spiritual fight. However, tares will not be able to fight a spiritual battle because they are not spiritual. They're lost. Again, you'll know them by their fruit. Well, what weapons am I supposed to bring to this spiritual fight? Read on down. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Listen, all the things we just read about, a lost person has none of that armor. They do not have the ability to have that armor because they are without God. That's part of what we get when we get saved. So how are they supposed to fight a spiritual fight? How is a tear in the church supposed to give spiritual advice? They're not. They cannot. They should not. You should not listen to them. Find the wheat. Stick with the wheat. The tares are going to come in. Think about the word tear. They tear things apart. They mess things up. They have no knowledge of God. They have no real love for God. They have no real love for people. They want to pervert the gospel. Hey, why? Because they're lost. And lost people do lost people things. But is the tear our enemy? No. We just have to be wise enough not to make him our best friend. Did you hear what I said? We just have to be wise enough not to make the tare our best friend. See, in the field, the tares and the wheat, they grow up together, right? And they look together. They look good together. Side by side, they kind of look the same. But can I say this? Just like Jesus said, harvest time's coming. And when it's time to harvest, you and your best friend that has caused you now to be ineffective as a Christian because he wore off on you, right? It happens. You got all your advice from the tares. You became as the tare. You didn't lose your salvation. At harvest time, you'll still be harvested and you'll make it to heaven, but the tare's going to be left and be burned. It's that simple tonight, church. So I'll ask you tonight, I want my wife to come to the piano. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. Let's